You're listening to the 2-Minute Time Lord.
Hi, I'm Chip, and this is 2-Minute Time Lord 202, reviewing The Impossible Astronaut. Spoilers, sweetie. The weirdest thing about watching The Impossible Astronaut on BBC America was what came after it, a repeat of The Christmas Carol, a glossy, gaudy, fun story that was, when you put it together with what I'd just seen, was a reminder of the wild shifts in tone that Doctor Who can provide. After all, as Matt Hill says, it's a genre machine, not a time machine. This wide variety is a plus for the show, not a minus, but I'll need to come back to it at the end. But whereas The Christmas Carol was Moffat in holiday event mode, The Impossible Astronaut is Moffat in, I guess you'd call it Moffat preferred mode. You have the intersecting timelines and temporal mysteries. You've got River Song at her, most knowledgeable and experienced. You've got creepy alien visitors with that little bit of relatable, mundane accessorizing, whether it's a statue, a gas mask, or in this case a suit, that makes them all the more unsettling. And an overall atmosphere of dread. Well, mission accomplished for Moffat. In terms of ticking all the boxes, I think this is the best he's ever ticked them. I enjoyed part one of this story much more than I did the two-parter in series 5, Time of Angels and Flesh and Stone. The same tropes are being revisited, but the mystery feels new. And I did appreciate the connections to Series 5, especially seeing the Lodger TARDIS, and even casual lines such as Braveheart Canton, which connect us to the classic series. Along those lines, the Doctor facing his end with the astronaut had to be an intentional evocation of the Fourth Doctor's encounter with the Watcher. As Moffat promised, this is a series opener that has the heft of a series finale. I'm intrigued, I'm excited, and I've got high hopes for a solid conclusion. But I do have a couple of, not sour notes, but caveats. First, from a quick survey on Twitter and elsewhere, I've seen, where I'd expected, enthusiasm or the lack thereof coming from different camps or whatever. People who prefer Christmas Carol-like or lighter Doctor Who didn't get what they wanted, and I'd give them a break on that. It's not a matter of them rejecting genius, it's them simply showing an affinity for the other tones that Doctor Who does so well. On a related note, I'm also a little disappointed that it's not an episode that I can share with my sensitive 9-year-old son. Appetites for scary fiction differ from child to child, but this, as with The Weeping Angels, is one that's too much for him. I enjoyed The Impossible Astronaut a lot. It felt like it was made for me. Yay! But it seemed like 9 p.m. material on a show that otherwise belongs at an earlier hour, and I hope that there's more stuff coming during this series that my boy and I can sit on the couch together for. And that's 2MTL 202. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll see you in a few days. Follow me on Twitter at numeral 2-Minute Time Lord, or on Facebook at facebook.com/numeral 2-Minute Time Lord.